This is the thing that sucks most about the brain injury is inconsistency, which you know me and anybody that follows me on Twitter at that Kyle Malone knows I hate inconsistency, but I get inconsistent with my memory, and I'll see something and I'll be like, okay, this is something I want to talk about. I want to mention it. We're going to roll with it. It's on my mind, and then in the blink of an eye, it's gone, right?
Yeah.
And on the other side of that is I will be able to easily remember it, maintain it till I get to where I need said information and regurgitate it. And it is so freaking annoying when when you lose it and you just can't find it.
What's worse is finding it 3 hours later.
Yeah, yeah.
And then be like, oh yeah.
Yep, which is always a terrible thing, because then you're like, oh, I just wasted, especially on podcasts, just like, fuck, I just wasted this time on this, that, and what I really wanted to talk about was this other thing. And anyways, good morning, everybody. Welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Brian.
Brian Brantley, I have not talked to you in a while on this show. Right? Yeah,
it's been a couple weeks. No, Friday. Last week. No. Yeah. It's funny. We did the Friday show and we recorded a thing. I don't think it's up yet on Saturday, but the last 2 to 3 days have been so crazy, not the world, entertainment, everything, every aspect of life, that it's felt like 2-3 weeks.
Jeez. Yeah, I guess that, and I also have like 12 different fucking shows like you that I do, yeah. And I can't remember what show I've done with who. Excuse me, but there's been a couple of things I've desperately wanted to know your opinion on. Kevin Feige, dude, all day long running his mouth on good stuff, like in a good way, giving us information. What did you hear what they had to say about Secret Invasion?
I read a few things that it wasn't going to be like in-game scale event. Is that correct? Yeah. I heard that. I had heard that. I heard the Deadpool thing. I think that he talked about episode lengths and creativity and all. Yeah,
I'm talking just Secret Invasion.
Oh yeah. I was not excited about Secret Invasion at all. I didn't care for the comic event. So the fact that now it feels like it's just sort of going to be just a series, maybe, you know what I mean? I like Nick Fury. I like Sam Jackson. So I'll be interested to see what they do with it. But I am happy that it's not going to be the central focus of the MCU.
Yes.
So that I am happy by that news.
Even though Captain Marvel and Secret Invasion play into each other. The one thing I liked about what he said is it's not that, and that being the comic book where everybody was a fucking Skrull. It's not that, but it very much is a showcase for Sam Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn and tapping into the paranoia elements of the Secret Invasion comic series that was great with the twists and turns that took, says who. So that's certainly our focus more than can we cram in more characters than in-game, like, publishing. Dude, that makes, to me, this sounds like a sword project dealing less with capes, scrolls in capes, and more like scrolls in world government. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, we always jokingly, well, not really jokingly, say, you know, in Feige we trust. But, you know, this is more evidence of that. You know, here's an event that I didn't care for. Here's something that I'm like, what are they going to do with it? And the way it sounds like potentially they're going to do it is how it should be done. And I mm-hmm. think something that actually might interest me. And looking forward, this is why it's so, slight sidebar, this is why it's so important that especially established franchises, if you're going to spend a bunch of money, you're going to, you know, build shows and movies, you need to bring people who love the source material. You do. And I know that there are those who disagree with that. There's varying, you know, opinions on creative control and how things like this should be done. But in my opinion, if you want to create something new, go create something new. Mm-hmm. Do it. Nolan does it all the time. He makes up new things. And if you want to create something new, create something new. But if it's an established thing, you gotta love it. And Kevin Feige loves Marvel, and he's very respectful to it. And here's another example of him looking at it and saying, okay, what works, what doesn't work, and how can we, you know, approach this properly. And that was the thing I got from all the stuff he was saying. I was just in awe. I was like, holy, she's saying all the right things. And I'm just like, wow, this guy gets it.
I wish there was a person like that for another studio I know of.
Well, there's more than one studio. I can think of several studios. Almost so, they could fill an entire hand.
I've had to talk about Sony a little bit earlier this week with Nick.
Yeah,
and so. the move of Morbius and how I think it's a sign that of not strengthen that movie like some have, like, oh, look how well the Venom did. I'm like, then if you're worried at all, put Venom there, you know. I think it's a sacrificial play, but we'll see. But it's Marvel, it's the year of fucking Marvel, dude. Like, we got some cool things to talk about on the Cantina for Star Wars, but I mean, everybody's excited about WandaVision. Everyone's excited about Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're getting, like you said, series run times, episode counts, which are up to change, because look at WandaVision, you know. Fucking and even mentioned Star Wars. Kevin Feige, how involved are you in Star Wars going forward after your movie you're producing? Not at all. Like, boom, just he doesn't lie outright. He'll do the, oh, I can't say, or isn't it more fun to find out in the theater? You know, he plays the political game for spoilers, but when it comes to shit like that, if there were any talks of him doing anything additional Star Wars, he wouldn't have answered, not at all, right?
Yeah, I agree. That's what I took from that.
Yeah. Other than that, man, what Marvel juiciness has caught your eye the most?
You know, everyone, you already covered this, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but the Deadpool announcement I thought was significant.
Yes.
That's significant. It really is. You know, we talked about it in the past, last year. We've talked about it for quite some time, and it is a big deal, and it shows yet again he understands. You know, and I was so terrified that they weren't going to go with the R-rated route. And I didn't mind them, you know, it was like, yes, you could make an edgy PG-13 and it still be decent, but I mean, that's just not what the franchise has been. And so for him to be like, you know, he gets it. And that, you know, that was one of the bigger things that I was excited about.
Yeah. I just my big thing is just still like how like I was talked earlier this week, like how do you do this? Because he doesn't, you can't just have him be a part of an Avengers movie ever, you know. I think multiverse, where he's just, because of who he is, able to travel in between, for one reason or another, is the best way to do it. But I loved the funny idea we had, of how, like, in the background of Doctor Strange 2, you see, Deadpool fall out of a portal, like, onto the antenna or spire of a skyscraper or something.
Yeah.
And as the battle's going on, you can see him like lifting himself off and falling to the ground. And then like the final battle ends, like mid credit scene, as Deadpool getting up and going, where the fuck am I?
yeah, that, and I think that's the style, you know, the humor, I think that's what they're going to go for, you know, that kind of approach.
Oh, I hope so. That's the way to do it in my mind. Like I said, everyone gearing up WandaVision, but my eyes are on what comes next, and that's Falcon and Winter Soldier. And which in the trailer looks so good, but it's got me the lack of information on, like, May doesn't seem that far away. Hey, and you look at Sony making decisions, Morbius and Bond and other movies on the move, and didn't Fast and Furious move or threaten to move again or some shit, and I don't know, man. I get nervous about how all of it's going to end up shaking loose in the end, because once you start this phase, you can't just stop it, man. And you can't skip around, right?
I don't see how you could. Because my assumption is, this is just me guessing, Brian guessing, is that their plan is to barrel through the year. If you don't have enough screens, oh well, it's going to Disney Plus simultaneously. We're going to charge you $30 whatever, and that's just going to be what it is. I think that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to announce. They wouldn't announce it until right up to the last minute. Because you're right, we're starting to sit back, and now all of a sudden it's looking like, all right, well, the first half of 2021, maybe even into the summer months, might not be viable for theaters. It might be fall, winter. Moves are being made, so
yeah.
I just don't see moving Black Widow again. I don't see it.
No, I mean, the Warner Brothers already said, oh, wait, no, Dune, we're going to push that one back out and will be theaters only. But everything's subject to change, like all of it is. Excuse me. Sticking with Marvel, sticking with Hollywood's obsession with sequels and redos and reboots and how comics do it all the time. How excited are you about Miles Morales getting a Clone Wars?
Clone Saga.
Or Clone Wars, Clone Saga.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that. I saw that. I don't care. I mean, I hate to say it. You know, we get on here, I praise the MCU all the time. I think it's great, but when it comes to the comic books currently across the board, outside of a few Batman books, there's not much I'm looking at. I think both companies are just not where they need to be. They're just not. I don't know. I love the character of Miles Morales. I've been a fan since, you know, since the beginning. I was checking out those first issues in the Ultimates.
He's on the Ultimates line pool for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a great character. I like the development. I like the film a lot. But now, you know, it's like, come on, guys, do something. You got this new character. He's popular. He's got a badass costume. Do something with him. Clone Saga is like, what? Because I'm trying to think, okay, what are they going to, you know, I'm trying to think of the original and how they're going to mimic it, or, you know, what they're going to do. And I just don't care. I mean, at the end of the day, that's just a tag they can slap on the comic to try and, you know, boost sales. I mean, look, if it's a masterpiece and I'm wrong, so be it. But as of now, I just don't care.
Oh, I can't blame you for that. It's the only reason I wanted to bring it up is because while we haven't really chewed through a fraction of all stories in the Marvel universe of comics to tell on screen, we've chewed through a lot of big moments in the comics. You know what I'm saying?
The ones we care about. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, outside of a few.
Yeah. You know. And so I start wondering, you know, are we going to start seeing more modern stories instead of just modern takes on classic stories? You know what I'm saying? Like, will we see an animated Spider-Verse Clone Saga for Miles Morales now that this comic book is coming out? I don't know.
People look at the Clone Saga with it wasn't that popular when it, mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? It went for quite some time. It was a lengthy and it, you know, in hindsight, people have varying opinions of it now, but it wasn't super popular even when it happened. Mm-mm. I think you may be onto something. I could see, we've noticed lately certain elements in the comics sort of as almost a hint at what they may be doing elsewhere. So that is a storyline. You know, we're essentially getting a Maximum Carnage thing at some point. It's coming. We're already getting a Carnage movie. So they're going that route. You're right. The Clone Saga is one of the most known Spider-Man stories. So I could see that on the screen at some point. And the question is, you know,
My God.
What? Did you read something?
No. I just thought of something terrible. Okay. What if they combine combine multiverse and clone saga. And the universe is seeded, the multiverse is seeded with Spider-Man clones or, you know, Spider-Man. What if they did that in Homecoming 3? And it does turn out Peter Parker's Ben Reilly all along.
Anything's possible. I mean,
I hope they don't do that. Please.
I'll tell you what I'm really curious about is whenever they do bring the X-Men in, however they do it, they've already burned through several storylines there, but there are still a handful that they didn't, and a few characters that they, you know, never really messed with. So there is potential there, but some of those stories are massive. You know, that's why the X line was such a big deal, is, you know, they were big, you know, epic storylines that affected everyone. So I am curious if that's another reason they're sort of sitting back, because when they do bring the X-Men in, it's going to be sort of, some of the storylines could be, you know, in-game scale storytelling, and maybe they're holding back for that reason. Just a thought. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? There's, it's literally limitless possibilities, which is good in a lot of ways, and then scary in other ways. scary what Sony could do. Yeah, I don't know. Their whole thing with trying to do this connective tissue, which is why moving Morbius is weird to me. I don't know what to make of it, because Sony, if your stuff is even partially related to Spider-Man Homecoming 3, and the reason I'm calling it ladies and gentlemen, is that's what Kevin Feige said they call it. So, until further notice. I wonder, since they don't have a Disney Plus, what's their game if theaters don't open back up, but they've got connective tissue? Or does the fact we're not seeing or hearing talks of deals being made to distribute on a streaming service just in case, like Universal sold some movies to Amazon and stuff, is that a sign that the connective tissue isn't a lot?
It's got to be one or the other, or it's going to be a mess. It either has to be where, like you said, the movie really stands alone and it's not really that connected outside of a few references, or you're right. There could, and they got time to work out some deals if they have to go the streaming route. Mm-hmm. The smart thing would be to call Disney and hammer it out through them, in my opinion, but who knows? But yeah, Morbius is becoming more and more of a oddity with the comic book films. I don't know what it is. What is its purpose? What does it do? And you're right, this move did make me scratch my head a little bit. And is it important? Is it not important? Why did it get greenlit in the first place? We saw Vulture. Like, what the hell is that about?
Spider-Man wanted poster.
Yeah, we saw it. Yeah, I don't know.
Multiverse, who knows? I mean, but, you know, people will be like, oh, but that's the Homecoming Vulture. And I'm like, yeah. And we saw in the multiverse, the Avengers all ran into themselves. So people can look the same, but be different, you know. We'll have to see what shakes out of it. I don't know if I want to. I don't know. No. If I want to bring this up. All right. Just because it's you. These are all rumors. They come from Rickman's Patreon. Take with extreme amounts of salt, or as little salt. Whatever amount of salt means. Like, this is, you know, iffy type stuff. But he did have several things that he did call. The one I wanted to get at is Marvel working on multiple rated R films, and what do you think those would be, considering it seemed, maybe I might be wrong, but I think Feige said Blade would be PG-13.
I would say the fact that they've made the decision now and they're like, "You look, Deadpool's going to be an R-rated film." To me, that opened the door to say, "Okay, we can start having R-rated films." Like you said, I'm very interested to see how these films are, you know, reference and dance around the MCU, because those are all, you know, geared towards families. So that's going to be interesting. But Blade is, to me, is possibility. I think a Daredevil, maybe. I don't see how Punisher works in this world, but maybe something like that.
Not a movie. PK, but yeah. Put them, you know, do the grown-up TV show thing, please. Keep it going.
Ghost Rider. I mean, there's a couple characters that if you could go R, and it wouldn't it would make sense to do so. But I think my guess is they're going to be real careful about it. And Deadpool. Daredevil. To me, that's one that
I'd be interested. I agree. A Daredevil story. Bring it back to X-Men. You had mentioned before about, you know, some of the X-Men stories being done. I think because of Feige's comments, while they were kind of iffy, I think they mean that we're not getting any X-Men mutant stuff in WandaVision itself. Maybe Doc Strange too, because he said, you know, we've been talking about it, you know, of course there's things in the plans, which is that political talk, but he didn't do any of that teasy type stuff that it was soon. So I think it's a little bit further down the road. Agree or disagree?
I think so. I'd said that earlier. Yeah, I think so. But speaking of X-Men, real quick, Logan, there's a good example of a film that comic book movie, edgy, rated R, critically acclaimed. Also, why. You know, had a deep. critically acclaimed. It had a decent box office, nothing, you know, massive, but it did well enough. But there's a character that it's like, you could make another R-rated film, and you've set up the idea that you could do that. So I don't know. And going back to the Daredevil real quick, you know, I know Kevin Feige always, you know, he wants to be the best. And you have something, and I love Nolan, and I love the Dark Knight trilogy, and I love the Dark Knight, but I could imagine Feige thinking, I want to make my Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. You know, his edgy comic book film that's very, you know, grounded in realism, and you have Daredevil, and it's a little edgier because it's R-rated and this and that, and, you know, I could see him going for that and trying to pull that off, and I think it could work.
I mean, all you're talking about is just doing what they did on Netflix, but condensed.
Absolutely, 100% agree. 100% agree. The show was amazing, and I think you pump a little bit of a budget in there, and honestly, it didn't even need that. It was great for what
it
was.
And you've got the perfect villain for the film, Bullseye. You introduce Charlie Cox and Spidey, and boom! Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Rated R, MCU Daredevil film, Daredevil Bullseye, something like that. The one thing I will say, since there's already a Daredevil out there show and a Daredevil out there movie. If we get an MCU Daredevil, it needs to come with its subtitle off the bat. And there's something that already did. Yeah, like Captain America the First Avenger had a subtitle. What else had a subtitle right off the bat? Not Guardians, not Strange. Spider-Man Homecoming, I guess. Anyways, There's one story for the X-Men left for them to discuss, man. To set up for movies that we haven't seen ever, and barely anyone remembers it because it didn't get a big to do in the cartoon, but it did get a big to do in the comics, and that's Onslaught.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And that's what I think you should build up an X-Men duology or trilogy to end up being against, that similar to the movies, you know, the psionic energy, that emotional energy between Charles and Magneto, Eric, is so intense that it manifests this beast of a bad guy that causes the mutants to have to unite to go against him. And then you could set up something for like Mr. Sinister or something like that later on. I don't know what if we're going to, because I think the they're going to let the mutants play mostly in their own world at first. Do you agree with that or no? Do you think they're going to be like rammed into the universe?
Let's
pretend they do it where it's like they sprinkle in the universe, but they play, you're gonna get some X-Men stories that are isolated together. What do you want to see? What big story can you recall or could you come up with that you would like to see?
I've always been a Sinister fan, so I would like to go that route with the idea of somebody who's been around a while. See, that's the tough part. I don't know how they're gonna do it, and like you said, it's so tough, and that's why there's been so many debates and questions for so long, because it's like we're not introducing a character, we're introducing like hundreds. And a lot of villains, but a lot of these villains, their backgrounds are so important. And until I really know how they're going to bring them in, that really it complicates the question, because a character like Sinister, it's important that he's been around a long time.
Yes. And
now you could adjust that, you know, you can adapt to it, but it just depends.
With him, you get a couple of the bioweapon stories that you can, you can play with, that mutant plague. I remember that arc for a while. I'll tell you another story, honestly. Oh my god, Brian, shit, I almost wish, like, stop, reset. Good morning everybody, welcome to LR Martin. No, what if What if they're admitting to a multiverse, right? Right? And they do at least one, maybe two movies. I would say two movies of these X-Men in their own universe. They're not the Fox X-Men. They will be the MCU's X-Men, but the story is Messiah Complex.
Yet again, amazing story. I collected it as it came out, but it really needs that history.
That's the thing, is kind of like Spider-Man, most people would get the general gist of it with some exposition on hey, in our universe, our Scarlet Witch, you know, decimated our numbers, no more mutants have been born, yada yada yada. People know enough about the main cast of X-Men, Cyclops and Jean Grey and Wolverine and Magneto and you know what I'm saying? Like people know enough that I think you could do deep dive. Like I think you could go in head first, be bold with it. But at the end of Messiah Complex, where it was Cable that took Hope Summers and time traveled, dimension jumped, whatever the fuck. At the end of Messiah Complex, what if it's them finding refuge in the main MCU, where the opposite has happened, where their Wanda destroyed all mutants. The MCU now has some mutants.
That's an interesting take. Yeah, that could work. Cable is a character that it's easy to work him in just because he jumps, like you said, the time travel and all that, and we're already establishing multiverses and time travel and everything. So that. Very well could be one of the ways they do this. Him and Bishop.
Yeah, I've said Bishop and Forge. Another idea for X-Men I had dealt with the whole, you know, refugee status, basically, where they're being hunted and exterminated by the Sentinels on their Earth, and Forge and Bishop. It could be Forge and Cable. It could be Forge, Bishop, and Cable. It could be any combination of those guys, really. But they're the ones that basically are searching. They're sending teams of X-Men searching for a good place for them. And it turns out the MCU Prime, at a certain time, was good, and maybe they've been in hiding and something causes them to come out. I don't know. What do you, it's a never ending guess, and fuck, man, I really don't know.
Yeah. The mutant question is, yeah, that's been the biggest one for a long, long time. How are they going to do
it? I would like that juxtaposition of Wanda creates mutants in the MCU, causing a bit of a stories that you could play on later on with you know, having people with too many powers, which causes similar issues for the mutants in their new world that they faced in their old world. But I like that idea of a group of mutants whose Wanda destroyed them, and we get a Messiah Complex movie, and then we get those X-Men brought over, and they get to meet some new mutants who might be X-Men that existed together in the comics, but not necessarily in those other X-Men movies. I think something like that would be really cool, just because of the juxtaposition thing. But I'm weird and geeky that way. Hey. Anyways, I guess that's it, man. I'm done. I'm spent. Geez, is tomorrow Friday? Yes, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I say that, because I still have podcasts and stuff.
I'm about to say, how many? You have a bunch of shows.
I know. So do you. So do you.
I know. I'm recording right after this, as a matter of fact.
And we've got a show together, which I've got some news on the logistics. I'm not going to put it out on LR Mornings. It'll be on the website as necessary. But new LRM Animeversal, kind of like Universal, Animeversal Reviews Podcast, starting with Dr. Stone, is up by the time you guys are listening to this, and we're going to be covering Dr. Stone, the Stone Wars, as well as a new Marvel show on Mondays, where Nick and I are going to be covering WandaVision. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons to be subscribed to both our YouTube channel and our podcast network. And of course, go to the website, lrmonline.com, every day, because you have to. Yeah. Brian, talk about yourself for a minute.
You can find me on YouTube. It's the channel is Pulp Mythos, PULPMYTHOS. It's one word. And currently doing 30 Coins, The Stand, Big Sky. I just added a whole bunch of other stuff. Check it out.
Alrighty then. You guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one. That's the number one, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram, where I actually do post adorable pictures of my orange creamsicle kitty in boxes, and then also awesome geek stuff I get, like the custom Leslie Vernon Funko Pop I got from my cousin. So yeah. Do that, and we will talk to you tomorrow.